Thanks for flying Southwest, and we hope to see you back real soon.
Very, very, very happy that the best sport in the world is back in season.
Feels good every time. Every spin, I screamed louder.
Brian, I know we're all football guys and football guys, guys.
Yeah, I'm a football guy.
Jordan dropped Marcus last week. So
oh, God, Jordan!
I have a lot to say about this.
So this is the best time of the year for us.
Psych!
Welcome to Week 10. And let me tell you, if you've been listening to the pod the last couple of weeks, you probably wouldn't be surprised to hear that counting and figuring out which week it is has actually been a real struggle for me. I thought it was Week 9. No, Week 10. And kicking off Week 10 in a two-part adventure, part one of a two-part adventure into this week, is one of our two mountain men, but he's far more mountaineer than the other, as he literally lives on a mountain. Welcome onto the pod, our actual league doctors. People forget that. Brandon. Brandon, welcome to the pod. Is it time to officially as well make this pod the first hashtag Emery Out podcast?
Oh my gosh. I'd live in Emery Out world these days. I haven't watched an Arsenal game, and I mean, I guess I watched on Sunday, and it was terrible. But I don't know if you saw any of the stats from their Europa League game today, but they just got outshot by a team whose name I can't pronounce, like 18-1.
Oh no!
Yeah, super fun and cool.
Oh God, that's really bad. Who is like the Arsenal of our league? Because, like, we don't have the history, so we can't call back on, like, oh, they've been really good and they've done a lot, and then here they are. But, like, it's got to be, like, high expectations, get close, maybe win it, maybe don't win it, fall on your face, and then just a whole lot of panic moves from your fans and your players and everything.
Yeah, when you say it like that, it's got to be Jordan, right? High expectations, but, like, never really that close.
I
and
thought
a lot of panic moves.
I thought, ironically, I thought Pip.
Oh, yeah. But Pip at least makes the playoffs, you know? I'm trying to pick someone who's, like, half the time in the playoffs, half the time out.
But
like Arsenal being top four and not top four.
Well, I was going to say, because Arsenal are occasionally in the Champions League, in the playoffs, occasionally in Europa League, in the constipation bracket. And both Pip and Jordan have been there. I think Jordan's...
Honestly, it's probably...
Jordan's more of an Everton.
Well. You said Jordan's more of an Everton? Wow.
Yeah.
For roast.
That's quite the burn. That you and Pip will get that.
Got him. Sorry, Jordan.
Yikes. Also, another question that I had, I wasn't like looking over your Twitter, but I was thinking of your Twitter today. It's at Boogie Clark. Who has ever called you Boogie? Why is your Twitter handle Boogie Clark?
It was more of a Boogie Cousins joke originally, but since he doesn't really play basketball anymore, which is tough for the brand, but I also think he disavowed that name, so I should probably think of a new one. I don't know. It's just really, honestly, I'm just so triggered because someone owns at Brandon the way that my name is spelled, because that would just be the best thing, so
I'm guessing,
I don't know.
I'm guessing Clark is available, or was probably taken too, right?
Yeah, at Clark. I used to have at Brandon Clark, then I didn't want to be, like, too identifiable, you know? I don't know.
Wow, Clark is at Clark on Twitter. 333 tweets, has 65 is following 65 people, 268 followers. He joined in 2007. He hasn't tweeted since April.
Ah, that's just so upsetting.
That's a waste, man.
I know. Let me look up at Brandon real quick.
I'm also doing that. Let's see, at Brandon.
I think he actually isn't, I don't think he even, oh no, Brandon E. Laurie, an actual person.
Oh, I misspelled, I did the other Brandon with an O, so I found a different Brandon.
Wow.
I found Brandon.
That's funny, this guy also lives in Colorado. What are the odds? I have to go fight him, I guess.
Should go fight him. What is the other Brandon Clark's Twitter handle? The former Gonzaga man.
One?
Yeah. The big hooper.
Brandon Clark, eh? He is Brandon Clark, 23.
Huh. I don't know. There's something there. Or, I'm not saying you have to change it from Boogie. I was kind of curious. Was it a DeMarcus Cousins thing, or did people call you Boogie Brandon, Boogie Brandon? Are you a dancer? Do you like 70s music?
Not particularly. I've always been B. It's always been my nickname, so I could go with that. But
huh. Yeah. All right. Well,
whatever.
All righty.
The more you know.
All right, nicknames for Brandon or Twitter handles for him. Keep sending. You can either send them to him, or you can do the more devilish thing, which is to take the handle, recommend it to him, and then try and buy it off of him.
Yeah, that's the move. There I will go. Pay a very high price for honestly for at Brandon. I don't know if I'd pay more than like $20, but I'd probably pay $20.
See, I would go after Clark, because if Clark hasn't, if he's not tweeting all that often, he could just move on from that. Doesn't seem very important.
Yeah, I mean, at Brandon hasn't tweeted since, 2016, so.
Petition Twitter. I don't know. Say that you're at Brandon and you forgot your password.
Yeah. I'm the real at Brandon.
Nice. All right, let's get to the matchups here. We're only doing part one tonight, part one tomorrow, or if you're just going to listen to them together, it's part one right now, part two later. Unless you've listened to part two first, then it's thank you for listening to part two, part one coming up. We'll start Rick with myself. Rick, who is 3-6, taking on Jared, who is 4-5. This is now I've changed my name again. George Little Rock. Oh, no, I messed it up. I don't even know my own name. George Kittle Rock, Arkansas, versus Kurt Menefee. Last name, the name change mojo worked out great for me, and I got the tightest of tight wins over Pip, winning ever the first lunch table derby by 5 points, overcoming a zero from MVS and surviving a near Plaxico by sitting Damien Williams during his one good week so far this year. Jared also got an important win over you, Brandon, as Jared was also the highest scoring team of the week with a 143. Ty Lockett and David Montgomery leading the way, as well as a pretty good game from Matt Stafford. This week, yikes, I'm without my D-Stack, Deshaun, DeAndre, and Didi all on bye, leaving me with broken Brandon Cooks, Mecole Hardman, and my cousin, Chester Rogers. Jared is in much better shape, nearly a full squad minus Philip Lindsay, but he gets the return of David Johnson, and I wanted to start there. DJ hasn't played in a couple weeks. Kenyon Drake had a really big Thursday and was a great hold from the draft from Jared as well, keeping him. Are we entering potential running back by committee territory, or that's possibly going to diminish DJ's value here?
You know, it really seems like more than anything, Cliff Kingsbury is just very committed to not committing to anything, which I kind of respect in a lot of ways. But it was really fun to watch Kenyon Drake play last week, because he is like ostensibly a good running back who's never really been in a great situation. But it definitely sort of feels like with DJ coming back, I don't know, Jared's kind of, him having both of them on his roster is kind of going to be tricky, because you don't really know if either of them are going to be that good. And you also don't really know if, like, Kenyon Drake is going to be a traditional, like, handcuff, or how it's all going to sort out. Also, for this week, I mean, the Tampa Bay rushing defense has been really, really good. Like, I think last week, I think they held Chris Carson to a pretty low number outside of, I think he had one, like, 70-yard run. So for this week, I don't know how great of a play it is. Well, I guess, I mean, you have to play David Johnson if he's healthy, but I don't know how much Jared should expect from him this week.
Yeah, 145 is what Tampa Bay allowed last week to Seattle, which was the most of their year. They'd only given up more than 100 to New Orleans. That was back in week 5. So, yeah, pretty tight rush defense. But yeah, I think starting DJ is absolutely the wrong thing, Jared. Please bench him, and also don't start Kenyon Drake. But David Johnson probably the better play, because I mean, as good of a week that Kenyon did have last week, it was only like a 1 week thing. Like, I can imagine if you're playing both of them together, and then maybe Kenyon starts to kind of outshine there, then it'll make sense. But DJ doesn't even have the questionable tag by his name anymore, so like he should be 100%. Well, I mean, maybe 100%, but should be at least ready to go to be kind of, you know, first round pick David Johnson again.
Yeah, I mean, he's still projected for such a low number. It's pretty tough. I mean, it's obviously a really hard matchup for him. But you got to start him, that's for sure. That's funny that he has David Johnson and DJ Moore, the double DJ gang.
Wow, DJs.
Jokes. So, Rick, do you want to talk about your team?
I'd really rather not. If we don't have to, I don't like my team.
I was wondering, what was your thought process of that trade, the Devin Singletary trade? Because I do think he was a good acquisition, but you don't have any wide receivers anymore.
Yeah, and you know what they always say, two things can both be true at the same time. I knew this week was going to be not good for me. The middle of the 3 week stretch that I'm in was not going to be fun. Really needed a running back because I assumed that Damien Williams was just never going to do what he did last week. And Singletary played really well when he was healthy before he got knocked out. And I was like, okay, if anything, he's behind Frank Gore, who Frank Gore's bound to fall apart at some point, right? Like, this is going to happen. I didn't have anybody else that Jordan like had value kind of. And so like John Brown was like one of like three guys I could potentially trade at that point in the season. And I needed to maximize it. And, getting Mecole Hardman was like, okay, collateral in return, but now he's just a kick returner. And, that turned out to be not very good either. Also doesn't help that Brandon Cooks, his brain has turned to goop. And I have to play Chester Rogers for the second time in as many years. So this is very fun and very good things are happening for my team right now.
Well, you have to text your cousin Chester and tell him that you're relying on him this upcoming week. I mean, the Ronald Jones news worked out pretty well for you. It's funny. All of a sudden you have possibly four good running backs plus Deion Jones, who's serviceable at the very least, but you're in a bit of a wide receiver drought. I feel like with the way that buys have worked out this week, it seems like every week there's been someone, I guess buys and injuries, every week there's just been someone who's super desperate for a receiver, and this week it gets to be your turn. So,
yeah, I'm very proud to take the baton of worst wide receiver trio in the league for having Mercedes Valdez-Scaffolding, who had no receptions last week, a Dolphins wide receiver, and Chester Rogers. Fun fact, my papa, his name is John Chester Rogers, so I think Chester Rogers is my grandpa, which means only good things can happen, right?
Yeah, well, that means he's like 65 or 85, sorry.
Or that, yeah, one of the two.
I don't love your odds this week. I don't know. Jared's kind of secretly sneaky put together a pretty good team here. I don't know how much of a run he can actually make. But if David Johnson becomes first round David Johnson and David Montgomery stays what he's been for these last 2 weeks, which has been really, really solid, it seems like as the Bears have sort of realize that they can't rely on Mitch, they've sort of fed the ball to David Montgomery a lot more. Obviously, he's probably never going to recoup his value that he could have had with Dalvin, but, you know, if David Montgomery carries him into the playoffs, he won't feel quite as bad as he could have.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, obviously, you know, he'd be in probably, I mean, I'm not going to do the math and try and guess like what he would be better at or whatever with Dalvin Cook or without Dalvin Cook. So yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be against.
I think he would. He'd be better at fantasy football with Dalvin Cook.
That's fair enough. Yeah. So we'll start there. Yeah, Jared seemed pretty solid. Like, he's only a game out of a playoff spot, and a lot of those playoff teams are kind of playing each other, and so there could be slightly less of a cluster, or if he has another high scoring or top three scoring week and gets those points four kind of going up for him, that's going to put him in a good spot. Yeah, I've got Jared winning this one pretty handedly. My only hope is that the Bears offense just takes quite a regression, and you know, the game against the Detroit is just an absolute poop fest, and Stafford, you know, falls apart to the Bears defense or something. I'm just glad that at the time of recording the pod, I'm projected more than 80, because that's where I was at last week. So that's a big win for me. So I'll take anything I can get.
Hey, baby steps. Yeah. I think I'm going to pick Jared as well, but I think it'll actually be kind of close. I guess I don't think that David Johnson is as guaranteed as, you know, as you want him to be. He could definitely re-injure that back early on in that game and, you know, could end up having a really low-scoring day. And then Tyler Lockett, you know, the San Francisco secondary has been good. It's tough to say how that game script will work out. Obviously, Tyler Lockett's been automatic this year, and then Russell has such a crazy connection, it's out of control. But, you know, maybe the Niners will slow him down a little bit. Yeah, I think he's just kind of got a lot of better players than you do, which is, in general, a good way to start.
Yes, the very, very good point. Next matchup. Pip, who is 6-3 versus Mike, who's also 4-5, same as Jared. The Grand Canyon versus Indomicon Suez Canal. As I mentioned, Pip took a loss last week that now has him tied for second, or that could have had him tied for second, but he is now in third. And again, the loss coming down to his two top 10 running backs having a pair of butt games and Golden Tate playing less golden and maybe more like a copper or something. I don't know. The gold joke insert here. Mike, our lawyer and reigning champion, lost to fellow Seattleite Duncan, despite another massive run game from CMC, and while it wasn't a smelly butt team of the week, CMC still scored about a third of Mike's team points this week, which is just pretty wild that's still happening. Michael Esquire must now move on from Gardner Minshew. He lands with the heroic Daniel Jones, and Pip is without Julian Peddleman. I think the most intriguing part of this matchup is going to come down to the wide receivers, where it looks like the Chiefs are going to be getting Patrick Mahomes back with his dislocated knee. So we're finally going to get our first game of Mahomes, Tyreek, Salami, Watkins all together, all on the field. Had it very briefly in week one, but then Tyreek went down. And then the past couple of weeks, we've seen David Moore come in, or Matt Moore, whatever, whoever Moore came in, and, you know, we've had all of this. So which Chiefs wide receiver do you think is going to get the biggest return of Patrick Mahomes?
I definitely think that Tyreek probably has the highest ceiling, just because, you know, he was the wide receiver one last year when Mahomes was healthy. So they obviously know what they're doing. They just abuse defenses. It's really crazy. Sammy Watkins, on the other hand, I feel like it definitely raises his floor, because Sammy had a lot of games where he's just really, really bad, you know, but he's still a top 30 receiver on the year, so I think he probably has his worst games behind him, and hopefully, hopefully for Mike going forward, he'll benefit from having QB1 back.
Yeah, it's hard to not pick Tyreek Hill in this case, but maybe Tennessee's defense is going to be like, we're not going to let Tyreek beat us, so no pun intended. So we're going to try and stop him, and, you know, maybe Salami can have a big day, or maybe it'll finally be the Kelce show. But like, now you're kind of getting the full picture of the Chiefs' offense, which you know, damn near won the AFC last year. So them getting back, and, you know, I guess you have to assume that Mahomes is going to be mobile enough. Is he going to wear a brace or something? Like, what is he going to be like, and how strong is he going to be? But yeah, this huge boost to both of these guys so far, or hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, it's still, I still feel like I don't really get the point of them playing Mahomes this week, especially with their bye being next week. But I'm not, you know, Andy Reid or anything. Oh, I guess their bye's not for 2 weeks, so they'd have to go 2 more weeks. I don't understand what the point of rushing him back is, and I'm definitely saying this completely unbiased and not because I'm playing against Scott, who has Patrick Mahomes, but I just didn't think it would be the right idea. I just did some quick math. Guess what percentage of Mike's total fantasy points this year have been Christian McCaffrey and the Patriots defense?
45%.
36.99%.
Wow.
Two players.
They've been a third of his team?
More than a third of his total points are CMC and the Patriots defense. That's pretty remarkable. You always wonder, I always wonder how Mike does so well without really, like, making any moves. But I guess when you do that, you don't really need any other moves.
Yeah, when your move is I pull your lotto ball or your bingo ball last out of the cage and you get a top two pick, that's a great place to start with getting a really good Toad Gurley and then Christian McCaffrey as well, who probably would be right. I mean, Saquon would probably have just as good a numbers had he been healthy the full year, but you've got RB1 and then, you know, you just happen to be bullshitting around and, Patriots defense in the 15th round. Why not?
It's just insane that Saquon is averaging, or sorry, that Chris McCaffrey is averaging 28 points. 28 whole actual fantasy football points.
Man, It's kind of gross because I look at it because I've had really bad running backs and players that when you look at like the IBM projections, like all of the little bell curves that they show, like all peak like between like the 5 and the 15. I'm like, oh, all right. So that's still a lot of boom potential that you're leaving out there. Okay, I get that. You know, bell curve averages and whatever. I've got a chance here. And then McCaffrey's is just like this really low, like small hill where it's like, yeah, 27. Yeah, 27's a good average number. We'll give him that. It's just gross, man.
Rick talking standard deviation. Yeah, I mean, McCaffrey has a 25% chance every week of getting over 26 points.
Oh.
Which is pretty good, I guess. What do you think what is his worst game then? His worst game has been I guess he had 6.3 in week 2. Wow. Well, sucks.
Yeah, that was in that the actual first Thursday night game of the year where no one's prepared to play on 3 days rest.
Mm-hmm. wasn't that when Cam was still in, but he was being really terrible?
Yes, that was the last time Cam played as well. And then his worst game until then was also against Tampa Bay, but that was a London game, and he still got into the end zone and had 19.
I guess that's good.
God. Just the worst.
Imagine having a running back score 19 points.
Couldn't be me. It's happened to me twice, and I think both times it was Deshaun Watson, technically.
Essentially a running back.
Basically.
Okay, well, I mean, this is going to be a really good matchup, in my opinion.
Yeah,
I think this is pretty huge for Pitt. I think if Pitt wins this, he's basically can start booking tickets for playoff games.
Yeah, we're getting to that point where you start thinking, who am I playing and who am I playing against, and like what does the round robin before we get to the playoffs, how does that work out? But this is a 0.2 point differential in the projection so far. I think it just kind of comes down to, are Cleveland and Green Bay's, are their running games going to bounce back from the ass that they were last week? Because Nick Chubb was doing really well and then just taken out of the game at really weird times. And Green Bay was behind, but then also not utilizing Aaron Jones as a pass catcher. Like, none of that kind of made sense to me.
Yeah, I couldn't believe my eyes in that Browns game when they took Nick Chubb out for 4th-and-1 right in the red zone. That really cracked me up. It's really great when I feel like I've started cheering for the Broncos to lose, and now they've started playing better, and it's just terrible.
They can't make you happy.
Can't make me happy. I do like the build of Pitt's team. You know, it kind of feels like it would be risky having two running backs from the same team, but it sort of balances itself out. You know, Jamal Williams is more of the receiving back. Aaron Jones is more of the, you know, running back. So when they're ahead in the game, he gets his Aaron Jones points, and when they're losing, he gets those Jamal Williams points. I mean, unless they're in San Diego, Los Angeles, which was such a strange game last week. They've had such boom or bust receivers with Tyreek and Marquise. I guess Tyreek's pretty stable, but he feels like he can boom or bust. I guess he can boom. He can't really bust.
Yeah, that's right. That's another note that I had written down was like, are the Ravens ever going to throw the ball again? And if they do, are they ever going to throw it to Hollywood Brown? Because at this point, like, he had the 1 week in week 1, kind of had an okay week since, and he hasn't had more than 4 receptions. Like, last week was his second best week since his, you know, 30 points in week 1 or whatever, and he had 48 yards. Like, that's his third highest total of the year since that first game. Like, he's just been not good, and like the Ravens are obviously just going to let Lamar just kind of go crazy and, you know, run and have him run and then occasionally throw it to like Willie Snead, I guess. Like, I don't even know another Ravens receiver at this point.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the thing with Marquise is he only needs one. So same with Tyreek.
Yeah, it's very true.
Yeah. But see, outside of that, gosh, Pitt's really starting the Giants defense. Dark times. It's pretty funny that he's starting them over the Bears. I guess the Bears haven't been great, and the Giants have a great matchup, but I don't know. Some potential to screw them over.
Yeah, that's kind of scary, especially with the Giants being not even like a closely ranked to the Bears in the fantasy season so far. Because I know, you know, you're facing Stafford and they're going to be throwing the ball a whole bunch. So maybe the Bears aren't going to have a whole lot of time to get to the, you know, get a lot of sacks or anything like that. But Stafford is still like an INT machine. Like that part of his game has never gone away. So I think you're risking a lot hoping that, you know, Sam Darnold is going to be butt against another butt team.
Yeah, you wonder if Sam Darnold's still seeing ghosts now that Halloween's over. What?
I get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anything else on this one? Mike's kind of got a lot of buys.
Yeah, Mike's.
Well, I guess he has two Pats and Gardner. I think he's holding on to Gardner. Gosh, Mike just doesn't really. I don't know. Yeah. Gardner's just not playing anymore. Why do you still have him on your roster?
Yeah, Deshaun is on season-ending IR. Gardner Minshew probably won't be the starter. The Patriots, Burkhead, and Sanu are all on bye. So really his big options are starting Jimmy Graham or starting Tariq Cohen, and he's sitting both of them, and it's probably the better play.
Yeah, it's just funny. It seems like his team isn't very deep, but he has good players at all the, you know, positions on his actual roster for this week. So tough to really make fun of him.
That's very true. I'm thinking Pip maybe in a really tight one. I don't see this one necessarily being super high scoring or anything like that. It's really just the quarterbacks, the flex, the defenses in this one. It's all very weird and strange.
Yes, it is quite weird and strange. I think I'm gonna pick Mike just based off Christian McCaffrey. But I do think Sammy can have a pretty good week as well. He's not going to be covered by the by Malcolm Butler, the primary corner in Tennessee, so he might have a little bit of opportunity to shine there. And he's got, you know, his quarterback back. So, and Eric Ebron going against Miami. Miami's obviously terrible. And if Brissett doesn't start, you know, there might be a lot of tight end security blanket type stuff with whatever that backup quarterback is.
Brian Hoyer.
Hoyer. I was going to say Hoyer, but I was like, no way is it still Hoyer. Still in the league. Access checks, Brian Hoyer.
Yeah, I forgot where I was, but I think I saw Brian Hoyer on the sideline or somebody mentioned Brian Hoyer. I was like, he can't be in the NFL. That's against the rules. What are you talking about?
Turns out very much in the NFL.
Ugh, gross. Alrighty then. Our last matchup for the first half of the
Speaking of gross.
Yes, indeed. Brandon, you're 3-6. You're taking on Scott, who is 2-7. Mike Reykjavik versus N'Keal Prairie. Mostly least for part one of our week 10 previews, has us stuck in a battle for the toilet. Brandon couldn't get a boost out of the bottom with his loss against Jared last week. He lands in 11th. And Boogie, you had yourself a tough week with that near smelly butt team of the week. And couldn't have been much better considering Scott got his second win of the year, taking down Tim, who actually was the smelly butt team of the week. So B, you're once again sticking with Lamis Winston, aka Mr. Eat the W, aka the glass might be half full, but it's always full because the other half is full of air at quarterback. And Scott has a chance to pull himself out of 12th for the first time since last season ended, if his Patty Mahomes return will possibly end up leading to good things. So tell us, Brandon, what's the feeling like in the clubhouse knowing that 12th place is on the line?
It's not great. I will definitely confirm that things are not looking up, per se. That Jameis quote killed me. Man, he's just the headiest player in the NFL. It's so silly to me. But
it's not wrong, right? Like, there's air in the other half of the glass, but it's not like that's not actually filling it, right?
Yeah, that is the definition of full, you know, is that it is not. I thought it was funny, though. I was kind of surprised that Jameis was just sitting on the waiver wire. I guess this was 2 weeks ago. I don't know if he dropped him or if he was even picked up, but his schedule for the rest of the year is pretty solid, and also Tampa Bay has the actual top two receivers in fantasy football. So I was pleasantly surprised that I got to pick him up. I kind of feel like I might drop Tom Brady, TBH, because he's old and sucks. And Jameis is young and throws the ball very far. So, anyways, feel good about that, despite the fact that he's kind of a weirdo. Well, not kind of, a definite weirdo.
Definite, yeah.
It's funny. I still don't feel like my team's that bad, you know? It's tough when you're 6-3 and have the third fewest points scored in the – or second fewest points scored. I don't know. Have very few points scored. It's hard to, like, feel like your team's so good, but I don't know. I still feel like I can win any week. I feel like I've made good moves, you know? I feel like Josh Jacobs has been good. Darren Waller's been good. I don't know.
No, I'm still there. I don't feel like I'm that much better because I have one more win than you. But like I know exactly what you're thinking because I was looking at my team and thinking, hey, I've got the good quarterback, Derrick Henry. He's okay. You know, I got the wide receiver. I've got the really good tight end. Like, why aren't things coming together for me? And it's because everything else is just really not coming together even a little bit. And yeah, it's not fun. But I totally understand why you're talking yourself into my team's not that bad. I should be better.
Yeah, I hadn't been on the pod since week one, but it's so frustrating having done the draft so close to the regular season because you can just think back on all of the draft regrets. Like, I've looked into, I was in between picking Juju and Michael Thomas, and I ended up picking Juju, and then I was in between picking Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp, and I ended up picking Robert Woods. And man, that stuff just kind of changes your entire year just based off of, you know, little tiny decisions. Very fun and cool.
That's enough to, like, just points wise from those two guys to get you from 11th in points up to probably like 5th or 6th.
Yeah. Yeah. I might. Do I want to torture myself and look it up? Yeah, not particularly. But, you know, you know what they say. You set the table at the draft, and I set a really poor table. But anyways, I do think my team's better than Scott's. Not to be too, you know, cocky or anything, but
It's a low bar to clear, I think. Especially this week without Sony PlayStation in there. He still hasn't moved Alshon Jeffrey, who's going to be on bye, so that'll be something to certainly keep an eye on because he doesn't have any other wide receivers who are actually. Well, I guess he'd move Cole Beasley in from his flex. But there is certainly high potential for Scott for getting to leave Alshon out of his lineup, thinking that he still plays for the Bears or something, and the Bears are playing, so Alshon's good to go. It is very high potential for Scott to plax himself like that.
Yeah, I mean, as much as we like to kind of make fun of Mike for not making moves, at least he, you know, sets his roster before the podcast. So shout out, Mike. But yeah, I don't really understand what went wrong with Scott's team. And obviously, this is so I'm just guaranteeing losing to him by talking like this. But like, I don't know. I feel like he had a sound strategy going into the year. I don't know. Kelsey's been fine, and Mahomes, obviously the injury sucks, but can't predict that. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's weird that he's like so he. I guess the thing with Scott that really sucks is that not only does he have the fewest points scored for, but he also has the most points against, you know? That's just like something, I don't know. It makes you just wonder who's in charge here, you know?
Yeah, I guess. Well, you think with, you know, you missed on Mixon, which, like, okay, that's fair. Like, you know, plenty of I myself took a running back in the first two rounds. It didn't work out for me. Maybe, you know, he'll have a big game or something like that. Travis Kelce is still top three fantasy tight end or four or something like that. He might have dropped. Now he's the number two tight end. So that means that, you know, the number one tight end is probably Walls, and he went in like the 16th round or whatever. So that's just crazy.
Cooper, but yeah.
Yeah. It is still Cooper or Hooper?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, wow. Very nice. And yeah.
Shoot your own horn.
Thank you. My good pick. Thank you very much. But he went super late in the draft as well. So like the tight end is random, but you've still gotten a ton of production out of it. Marvin Jones has been solid. Larry Fitz has been okay. You know, Jones, I think, has been his top scoring player the past couple of weeks. He's, you know, 15th, so not necessarily wide receiver one production, but like it's all kind of there. Sony PlayStation's getting some more goal line carries. He was always sort of a risky play, but it's just like a lot of little things just kind of went wrong, and a lot of little things for Scott have been going wrong, going on like almost a full year, well, fantasy wise, for like a season and a half.
Yeah. And I guess he hasn't really, I mean, he also just has had such crummy luck, you know, when you bank on having Kelce and Mahomes gets hurt. And not only that, Mahomes got hurt in game. So he ended up with like 3 points from his quarterback that week, which obviously sucks. So, yeah, I don't know.
It's brutal. Great. Yeah. And then, it, you know, you hold on to Peyton Barber, and Peyton Barber is still maybe now a number two, could potentially be a number one. It's just, a lot of weird stuff going on for Scott right now.
Yeah, I mean, even that Philip Dorsett trade didn't really work out super well for him either. I don't know. I don't even know who else he got in that trade. Was it just Philip Dorsett for Rob? I mean, not that Robbie Anderson's any good, but at least he's, you know, playing this week. Would have been useful for him.
That is true. Yeah, because he also... Oh, Raheem Mostert as well.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess we could put Mostert in at flex and then move Cole Beasley in wide receiver. But Mostert is projected for 1.7 points.
So, yeah, because you know. Anytime you can start the third back of the three-headed backfield, you got to play him.
Yeah.
Oof. So, yeah, it's not looking pretty, but we've probably talked enough crap that Derek Carr is going to throw for 500, Joe Mixon rushes for probably 275, and Marvin Jones, Larry Fitzgerald, probably 3 touchdowns each.
Yeah, I mean, Marvin Jones has been doing that. What do you think? It's, you know, I didn't realize how much of a pickle Scott's in at quarterback since Carr plays tomorrow, or today, depending on when you listen to the podcast, but Carr's on the Thursday game, and so he probably won't know what Mahomes' status is when the Ooh. Car game starts.
Oh boy. Oh no.
It's not a good thing happening for Scott.
This is the worst person you could ask to put in that pickle.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
No.
That's awful.
Yeah, it's gotta be. Oh no. I don't even know what you do. Cause like.
I feel like you have to like drop. Do we have any other quarterbacks sitting out there? I feel like he has to drop a quarterback and then pick up or drop someone. I mean, I don't know. It just requires like a lot of work, which, no offense, Scott, love you, but not exactly something he's super keen on doing fantasy wise.
I mean, you probably drop Mostert and then pick up a quarterback that's going to play on Sunday, which
you pick up like Darnold or Trubisky, both of which are pretty. Miz, but they have okay matchups.
Right. Oh, gosh. Maybe Baker or, oh, Kyle. Oh, no. Yeah. It's all.
Ideally, he doesn't play either of them. Or I guess you could just pick up Matt Moore and then just get generic Kansas City quarterback. This is all so moot. Mahomes is probably going to play, but it's just.
Yeah, pickle. That's, oh boy, the worst pickle to be put in. I didn't realize Scott was going to have to make that decision, which his decision has probably been made, is in that it's going to be Derek Carr, and he's just going to be rolling into Sunday probably with this lineup. Boy. So that leads me to my pick, which I'm going to take you, Brandon. I thought we maybe had talked enough negatively about Scott that we'd look like idiots, but this pickle that he's now in has completely changed my mind. I'm so sorry, Scott.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm picking myself, but only more of like a default. I feel like if I was playing anyone else this week, I don't think I would pick myself. So, sorry, Scott.
Fair enough. That leads us to segments time. So I adjust the computer screen so I'll be able to read things a little bit better. Brandon, what segment would you like to lead off with?
I guess we should start out with a Plaxico for our close personal friend Jordan, who is. I feel like he is the original Plaxico, other than Plaxico himself.
Now, the JoJo of the week. Way to go, loser.
I forgot we have a specific imaging for when you do a JoJo. So, yeah, Jordan, the JoJo of the week.
Yeah, even better. I mean, he has just been so screwed by the Melvin Gordon trade that it's getting to a point where you just have to wonder if he is cursed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm just wondering. I'm asking the question. Because Melvin Gordon has had his two good games on Jordan's bench, and I believe, I'm looking at it now, but it does seem like if he had started Melvin Gordon in either of those games that he was on his bench, Jordan might have won both of those games.
You got Plaxicode.
It's just funny, too, because he was so excited about his team, and it was, like, on paper, it was such a good trade for him. It seemed like such a no-brainer. And, oh, I guess he won. Okay, he won 2 weeks ago. Sorry, I'm remembering things. But, yeah, it's just kind of silly. I mean, it could end up, this loss this last week could end up being huge. You know, him and Fronik were both sitting there in that sort of middle ground. And, you know, Fronik won, and now he's up in fourth. And, I don't know, Jordan has the points scored. You know, you'd figure that he'd be better off than he has been. But, a touch unlucky, you could say, for Jordan.
Is the problem him riding with Le'Veon at this point? Like, because, you know, you kind of expect Le'Veon at some point. Well, the problem is that he's got four startable running backs and three slots to put them in. Like, you're always going to leave somebody on your bench. So if you're constantly waiting for Le'Veon to have a big game and you're going to leave him in, well, then there's Melvin having the big games on your bench. But you don't want to leave Tevin Coleman not out of your lineup because he's catching a lot of passes and has the potential to break a big run, possibly for a touchdown in there, and part of a fancy offense taking on a Seattle defense that's pretty middle of the road this week. But then you've got Melvin on a Thursday, and do you want to lock up one of your spots on a Thursday in case somebody gets hurt? And then the Thursday night game, like it always is but that's... Is Jordan's team too good? Our column.
Yeah, I'm willing to have a conversation about it. I mean, especially it's kind of bizarre too because I'm trying to sort this out. It seems like he hasn't had his bye lineup. I guess Tevin Coleman had his bye really early, and so did Lev. So I guess he's had those two, and then Carson's bye is next week, and Melvin. I don't know when Melvin's bye was, but. I don't know, I mean, because obviously running back depth is like the, you know, the holy trinity or whatever, like the thing that everyone wants. And Jordan has running backs in, you know, in spades, but he just, and he has the number one quarterback, and he's 4-5.
It's super level. Yeah.
It's funnier the more you think about it.
So, yeah, he's got the Seahawks on bye next week, and then the week after that is the week that Melvin's on bye as well. And then he can't seem to get Evan Ingram healthy. T.Y. is doubtful as well. So part of that depth was also having T.Y. was a part of all of that. And when you're replacing John Brown with T.Y. Hilton, that's quite the drop-off.
Yeah, definitely. Man, oh, gosh, it just doesn't – it's so silly. I don't know.
And then Jordan now, also the JoJo of the week.
Like, no fan had like 17 points last week, too, just on Jordan's bench. Which
oh, man.
He couldn't have used any of those points, that's for sure.
I came back from grocery shopping, and I was living my best life not knowing if Golden Tate was beating me or not. But I flipped on the stream as I was putting groceries away, and that's when Saquon went for 60 nice yards. And I was just like, oh, I think that that just about wraps up Jordan's matchup there.
Mm-hmm. Sure does.
Yes.
That's fine. Well, I mean, we're not previewing Jordan's matchup. That's for tomorrow/today's podcast, depending on when you listen to this. But it's very funny still.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, speaking of Jordan's team, because it has something to do with my team as well, I have a catching feels I'd like to talk about.
There's no need to clarify.
Oh, no.
Just let it grow more and more each day. It's like I married my best friend,
but in a totally manly way.
Let's go!
Catching feels.
This one goes out to Devin Singletary. We all know I hadn't had much success with my running backs this year. I think I've mentioned on the pod, Deshaun Watson was tied for my team's lead in rushing touchdowns. It was not good. So I made the trade with Jordan, Devin Singletary for John Brown and Mecole Hardman. And it paid off. 1 week, one move, it paid off big for me. By literally 10:30, at that point, Singletary had more points in his game against the W word, R words, than Damien Williams had his best performance in over a month. I think Singletary was like at about 8.5, 9, and at that point, Williams' highest game was like 9.5 or something like that. So I knew I was going to have my best starting running back performance from an RB1, RB2, or whatever in about a month. And then he goes on 5 yards a carry, 100 yards. Oh, it was just beautiful.
Catching feels.
But it also leads me to a Willie Taggart Snake of the Week award.
Get out of here, you snake. Congrats on winning the Willie Taggart Memorial Snake of the Week Award. Now go slither away.
Which is something I'm going to have to worry about a whole bunch, but that's the Josh Allen, Frank Gore thing. So I don't know if you're watching Red Zone in the morning and you saw this, but Singletary gets the Bills inside the 10. It's like, or inside the 5 even. Like, they're really close to scoring. And they bring in Frank Gore, and I was like, okay, that's fine. I pretty much expected that to happen. But Frank, like, runs to the 1 yard line and then gets tackled like there's literally a wall in front of him. And I don't know how every time it was like he was holding the ball a yard behind himself and he couldn't get in. And then they just do the quarterback sneak thing with Josh Allen, which was potentially 6 points that should have gone my way that went Pip's way, which made our matchup that much closer. So that was our triple segment, catching field, snake of the week, don't trade me, bro, all wrapped up into one. I, you know, worry about the snake later. Right now, it's all about my love of Singletary.
Willie Taggart, snake of the week, really is topical content.
Oh, that's also very true.
Get out of here, you snake.
Willie Taggart, bye-bye. See you, Willie.
Don't exactly miss him, that's for sure. Well, should we do our inaugural semi-product college football playoff rankings?
Yes, we should. So like Brandon just said, we're doing rankings now. We used to do power rankings. I don't know if we'll ever bring them back, but right now we've got the pod and we all saw the college football playoff rankings. So times to, do our own for the podcast. The 6 playoff spots, the top 6 teams. I don't know what we've got here. Brandon, what rankings, what order should we do these in and what rankings do you have?
So this is kind of, I don't know if we are entirely on the same page, but it's fine. It's a podcast. You know, we're going live. I was thinking what we should do is of the 6 teams that are in the top of the college football playoff, we should assign our playoff teams to each of those teams. Was what I was going for.
Ah.
And it was mostly because I have one really good one, and then I was just going to figure out all the rest of them.
I'm missing out on this joke as well, like with Andrew's redraft. I power ranked, as if I were the committee. I picked the top 6 teams. So I guess of the college football playoff rankings, I have my top 4 and then the first 2 out.
All right. Well, let's do that. And then I'll just off the cuff say which, college football team each of your power rankings aligns with.
Okay, cool. Should we go 6-1 or 1-6?
You got to go 6-1, right?
All right. Coming in, my second team on the outside looking in is Fronik, Eifert Tower. I thought 6th was one of the harder ones to pick because when you look at the teams and the standings and everything, we're really getting stretched thin. Fronik clearly doesn't give a crap about his team and his wide receivers being garbage because he just keeps winning. So outside of this week, the worst wide receivers in the league, but the 3 running backs and, 4 running backs with Lamar Jackson, pretty much going to carry him. He's very much in the mix for the playoffs, but I don't think he's got the legs to actually make a deep run.
Yeah, so I guess that actually adds up. I mean, Fronik could easily be the University of Georgia in this situation where they've had a team that, you know, has a ties. You know, he has Saquon and Lamar, who are Austin Eckler, who are among, like, the top players at their positions this entire year who have kind of carried him. But he's also had some really stinky parts, like when, you know, Georgia lost to South Carolina. But also if he wins the rest of his games, I guess the other thing is that he doesn't entirely, kind of like Georgia, he doesn't entirely control his destiny, you know, being at 5-4. There are other teams that if he loses,
he could not make the playoffs. I guess that doesn't mean that he controls his destiny, but whatever. We'll cut that.
Fair enough. Number five. I like the Georgia pick as well, because Fronik, I think, has family in Georgia, so he probably, one of his second or third or fourth teams in college is probably the Bulldogs. I'm sure he would tell you that he loved playing with them in NCAA football or something like that.
I feel like they weren't that good back when NCAA football existed, but maybe I just don't remember ever using them.
I think I did. I don't like playing the SEC, like in the My Player mode or the Dynasty mode. Like, I just, there's something about it where I just like, I'm sick of the SEC. I don't want to deal with it.
Wow. SEC has been canceled.
Yes. It's very true. Very true. Number five, I have Jordan, United Arab Emirates. So the first team on the outside looking in, because of the death lineup that we talked about, and he can't catch a break with how his team has come together. T.Y.'s out, upgraded to doubtful from out. The four running backs that we talked about for three spots to put them in, high potential for a Plax. Also high potential to just run away and have three really good weeks in a row, and all of a sudden he'll win the title. But until he can figure out now a wide receiver thing or a flex thing or a running back thing, still has some buys coming up to some pretty big positions. Jordan, I've got him at five, outside looking in. OLI.
Well, you know, that's a good one. It could also add up where he could be Clemson, where he has this team that has tons and tons of talent, but they haven't really played their best, and, you know, Clemson hasn't played anyone. Jordan has obviously lost 5 weeks, which becomes funnier and funnier. But he has, you know, arguably too much talent, you could say, much like Clemson.
Wow, I like that a lot.
Arguing too much. Yeah, that one adds up.
Look at that.
Maybe we'll just go 6-1, and it'll just be the same. Thank you. We'll get too creative here.
At four, I have Duncan Bakers Mayfield. Very strong running backs. Mike Evans carrying the wide receivers. George Kittle Rock, Arkansas at tight end. Might not have the depth to make it the whole way, but when he's got the full squad going, undefeated for quite a long stretch, quite longer than I think anybody thought he would be, I've got Duncan fourth.
Yeah, so Duncan's definitely Penn State. You know, Penn State's been good, but, like, you know, you don't really know any good players on that team. Also, good running back, Saquon. You know, he doesn't have Saquon, but he went to Penn State, so it's a running back thing. Yeah, I mean, I don't think anyone really expected Penn State to be fourth at this point in the college football years, and I think we can all kind of agree that none of us really expected Duncan to be doing this well either.
No, I'm still surprised every time you look at the standings, and he's there, and he's at the top, and it's just, you know, escaping with wins. He was, like, you know, a top three highest scoring team. I think he's kind of always been middle of the pack for scoring, right?
He is. Let me pull it up. He's like fifth, I think. Sixth. He's pretty low down. He's fewer points than Mike.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think I'm sixth or seventh in points scored, and he's two below me.
Yikes.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know how he's here, but he is. But he's here.
Witchcraft, wizardry, etc.
Number three, I've got Luke DeOcean Jackson. Luke's got, like, one of the most confusing teams. The best record in the league is very good. The most points for his team is very good. And he's got the least points scored against, which is also good, but it's bad. But, like, you haven't played at anybody at their best kind of thing. It just, like, I know his team isn't bad because he's got Julio Thomas and Ertz on there. You've got double stack potential when you've got Gallup and Dak Prescott, and then double potential with Jones and Matt Ryan. He's just missing that RB2. And if anybody trades him an RB2, like, we'll kick you out of the league because he doesn't need one, and we should try and, you know, not that, you know, the campaign against Luke or anything, but, you know, let's try and beat Luke while he's slightly vulnerable, and this seems to be his most vulnerableness.
Yeah, Luke's definitely Alabama. I mean, he hasn't played anyone yet. Much like Alabama, hasn't played a single, I'm looking at it now, hasn't played a single top 25 team. I guess A&M was top 25 when they played. But
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, it's tough to argue that Luke doesn't have a good team. But, you know, when you kind of look at how few points against he's had, and obviously that doesn't make a difference. You can only control the points that your team scores. But I think his 8-1 record, you know, is probably as much reliant on the fact that he's had very few teams score well against him as much as it is how well he's scored. You know, he's first in points four, but he's not, I bet if we looked historically, I bet, you know, there are probably teams that through 9 weeks have scored more points than his. So, yeah, I mean, I do think, you know, Alabama's obviously, Alabama and Luke, it works really well, even though the Auburn thing for him personally, but right. I think, you know, kind of a historically dominant program. There are parallels between him and Nick Saban.
Yeah, I think because I'm looking at his schedule, and he started off really strong, and then he had his one kind of vulnerable week in week four when he played me, but I was also very bad, so I didn't help him out very much, and I had a very low-scoring week. But he's only had 100 points scored against him twice so far this year.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable. I wonder how many points scored, like, I don't know. You always just wonder what is like a really, really high point scored score, you know?
Right.
Like last year, I wonder who. So I guess last year the leader in points scored was your team. You had 1,800, and that was why is this not working? So you had 1,800 points through 13 weeks. So if Luke's at 1,100 through 9 weeks, I don't know, math, but he has a good team. But he hasn't played anyone yet, so.
So 1,800 through 13 weeks is 138 a week. And so 1,800 divided by 13, yeah, 138. And then 111 divided by 9 so far is 123 a week. So he's.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so he's not.
Yeah.
So not quite scoring.
Not exactly on a historic pace.
Right.
Yeah, so if you look at last year, 0.4 per game. He said, what was Luke at this year?
123.
Yeah, so last year, Tim's team, Pip's team, Luke's team, and your team all scored more than that per game. So, good team, but he's not exactly dominating, per se.
Yeah, it's just, it's weird that it's confusing. I don't know what to make of his team because I don't want to say it's bad because it's not. But he just, like, to only have 100 points scored against you twice, like, you're either, and especially early in the season when, like, byes weren't hitting that hard, it happened in week one, Pitt put up 100, and then you actually were the other, where you gave him his surprising loss that ended his win streak, which was another time that he didn't perform super high, and he scored under his average, so it's just really weird that he's just at the point where it's like, yeah, I can get 10 points from everybody, be really average, get a win, and my, you know, I'll just on points four, he should be able to like lock in a bye or something.
Yeah, I don't know. Good team, that's for sure. I don't know if I beat him last year. I feel like I did. I had a very similarly not good team. Anyways, him in Alabama, it seems like it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, no, it does. And at number two, I've got Melvin Ingram, Andrew. Three legit number one wide receivers, two top 10 running backs, top 15 or somewhere in there. I'm not sure. Drew Brees should be back. He's got the good tight end. Maybe too many Chargers, kind of the only thing holding them back.
Yeah, there's always too many Chargers. Yeah, I mean, him as LSU would work pretty well. Andrew's team this year, he's had much, you know, significantly more points scored against him than Luke's team, though still fewer than Jordan's team and a few other top teams as well. I feel like Andrew's kind of had a few, I might just be making this up, but I feel like he's had a few, like, high-scoring games that he's come out on top of, kind of like how LSU had, they beat Auburn and they beat UT. So,
yeah.
Two top 25 wins.
Pretty big. Yeah, so that, I guess that leads us with our number one, which kind of ironic that Pip gets this one, the Grand Canyon. Two very legit wide receiver ones, a third that at worst is a top two option, DJ Chark, depending on him and Big Fall or Big Wiener Foles mesh together. Two top five running backs, the good defense, the good kicking game. Kind of a weak spot at quarterback, and I really only see him ending up relying on Josh Allen at quarterback again to be his ultimate downfall.
Man, how did that work out really well that Pip ends up being Ohio State? Definitely planned that. That was definitely not completely accidental at all. Also, shout out Pip for that holiday picture that you're tagged in where everyone's doing the Ohio State thing and you're just frowning off to the side. Maybe laugh. Big fan.
I love that photo because it's in front of the green screen or whatever in Buckeye Stadium, and he's just like, I can't be associated with these people. I'm throwing the, oh, I know exactly who I am. I don't want to be here.
So good. I think Pip as the Ohio State. I'll take it. I don't really have much to explain that one, but he's got a good team. We'll see where he ends up. You know, Ohio State's kind of in the same boat where, you know, if you lose one game, you're going to start wondering about their playoff chances. And obviously, Pitt's in a good spot now, but, one loss could kind of change some things. So we shall see.
Yeah, there's a lot of teams chasing him because he doesn't have just a whole lot of separation. He's only got the one game on Fronick and Andrew, and then a lot of the people that are in the muck of the four and fives are kind of playing each other, and that's going to kind of all balance each other out. I'm not entirely sure what his schedule is the remaining part of the year. This is normally around that time where I post the weird Excel sheet of like who's playing who the final couple of weeks. And it kind of helps me at least have a picture in my mind of what needs to happen. He's got kind of a tough schedule. Mike this week is, like we talked about, going to be an interesting matchup. Fronick, who is chasing him, and then Luke and Tim to end the year. So you've only got one kind of semi-easy matchup, but even then, Tim at full strength, you don't really know what the teams are going to be like going into week 13. So it's going to be very interesting to see how that's going to work out, because unlike the college playoff, he can't afford a loss, but if it's the wrong loss or a couple losses in a row, he's going to be in a bad spot.
Yeah, I mean, if he loses this week, what, then he's 6-4, Mike's up to 5-5, and all of a sudden Pip's super stuck in that, he only has a one-game lead probably on being in the playoffs. So it is funny. It feels like so much has been settled, but we still have so much to go.
A lot to be decided. Is that going to wrap it up for us?
The one thing I have is a yeah, dude.
Yeah, dude.
I can never remember which ones you have a drop for. And so my yeah, dude, we kind of talked about this a little bit. And it's funny that we're talking so much about Luke on this half of the pod because he's on the second half of the pod. So we'll see what ends up happening of that. But as we were talking about Luke, team that is obviously good, has the most points in the league, but seems like it's sort of caught some lucky bounces. I did a little bit of analysis and basically just looked through the overall season schedule and ran everyone's like weekly score against the team that Luke played for any given week to figure out what every team's record would be if they had played Luke's schedule. And it was pretty fascinating. There are six teams that would be 8-1 playing Luke's schedule.
Six? What?
Yeah. So Luke, obviously, Duncan, Pip, Jordan, Michael, and you would all be 8-1 if you had played Luke's schedule.
Wow.
Yeah. Just pretty crazy.
Holy crap.
So, and then Andrew would be 7-2. Fronick would be 6-3. I would be 6-3, and Scott would be 6-3, and then Tim and Jared would be 5-4. Every single team going against Luke's schedule would have a winning record.
Oh, man. That's just like the luckiest luck of the draw, basically.
Yeah, because that's the thing is that, like, I don't know, it's not like there's any control over that at all. So, but, yeah, it's... But then at the same time, it's like he has the most points, so it's not like you know, it's not the most lucky thing in the world, but it's just kind of funny. There are a lot of teams that could be 8-1 with if they had gotten his luck of the draw.
So, yeah, I guess we're going to have to talk to him tomorrow then about his the Excel sheet that I don't understand. Or no, that's the Excel sheet I do understand. The other one I didn't understand was like points for and points against. We don't have to talk about that. It's math. But yeah, because it would be interesting to see what his hypothetical record would be, considering the entire league, if they had his schedule, would be would have a winning record. He obviously can't be – he's got to be closer to the like 6-3 or 5-4, right? You'd think?
Yeah. I was trying to, my original analysis that I was trying to do was to see, this felt too specific, was to see what Luke's record would be if he had just played against the average score in any given week. And I don't know, I can get back to you on that, but it was not super pretty. Like week four, the average score was only 107, and Luke scored a 92. That was the week he beat you. So obviously didn't do too well that week, but I don't know. Just going to shit on Luke a lot and then give him no ability to respond since he's on the podcast tomorrow.
Perfect. Good timing.
Yeah, dude.
All right. So, yeah, so we've got plenty of talking points to talk with Luke, and that's going to wrap up part one of part two of week 10, which will come in, I guess, three parts, Thursday, Sunday, and Monday. So thank you, Brandon, for coming on the pod. It was late notice, but you were very well prepared and very analyzed, and I appreciate it, and best of luck to you in your matchup this week.
Appreciate it, Rick, as always.
Follow the podcast on Twitter at SemiProDuxPod. Do your part to get this oddly specific podcast Twitter account to over 50 followers. Then follow the link to our iTunes page where you can subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, give a 5-star rating and review. Subscribe, rate, review. We'll be right back.